Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Oh, good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? Are we good? Are we good? You know, as a pastor, like when Memorial Day comes around, you find out who in the congregation owns boats and campers and really loves the outdoor life. And then you also find those that understand that if you go up this weekend, there's too many people, so they actually come to church and we celebrate Jesus together, right? So I'm thankful to have the opportunity to open up this series that I'm really excited about, that we're titling Locating Your Life. Because if your life is anything like my life, we can tend to get stuck in the routine or the routinization of the daily habits that we have, right? Anybody else just sometimes feel like, I'm not sure if I'm living my life or it's living it for me right now, right? Go to sleep, wake up, go to work, come home, clean, kids, go to sleep. It's over and over and over, right? And so part of what we're talking about is that though it sounds simple to locate your life, it's really not that simple to find those rhythms of grace that Jesus affords all of us, right? His purpose and the gospel itself indicates that we are made for more. That's an amen place right there. We're made for more, right? John chapter 10, verse 10 is going to be our kind of key text that we're talking about today. And in it, Jesus says, the thief's purpose, okay, pay attention to this. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. It says, but my purpose is to give them, his followers, right, to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's good news this morning, isn't it, church? That God wants us to experience in Jesus a rich and satisfying life. So last series we talked about, naturally supernatural, how God is available and willing and able to infuse his power in our lives to live a naturally supernatural life, right? And that's good news, but it's even better news than that, because in this series we're going to be talking about God's GPS system that he uses to keep us on course to help us live the destiny-driven life that he has for us, okay? And so we're going to be talking about that. I don't know if you have used GPS in the last day or week or month, right? We don't even raise our hands. We all know, right? As soon as we get in the car, before I even do anything else, I punch in where we're heading. I put the GPS up and we follow the coordinates as we go. But the truth of the matter is sometimes I argue with my GPS. Anybody else do that? Especially when I'm in a neighborhood I know. It's like, no, you don't want to go that way. But I'm already on the GPS course, so I better not divert from the path, right? Anybody else have that feeling at times? Maybe you're here today and you just say, I'm not sure what GPS really is. Well, GPS is just the technology of the global positioning system, right? Where a group of satellites around the Earth's orbit transmit signals that help give direction to receivers that calculate the location, the speed, and the time information to the user. So it kind of triangulates the destination and direction for which someone is heading, okay? My big idea today that we're talking about is that Jesus makes it possible for us to know our GPS location at any time. Today's big idea is that we will learn our masterpiece mission when we tune into our gifts. Everybody say gifts. Yes. Our passion and story. Right? When we know what our gifts, our passion, our story is, we're living on course with the destiny that God has for us, okay? But in order for that to happen, there are two ideas that need to kind of converge together in our lives, okay? The first is that we've got to see ourselves as the masterpiece that he created us as. Do you guys realize as you sit here today that you are handcrafted by the hand of God? And Jesus himself has given his life for you so he can live life through you. That makes you a masterpiece. And I don't know if that's the language that you use in your house or that you grew up around. I've been called some other things by friends and family members at times that maybe aren't, start with M, but probably not masterpiece, right? But the point is simply this, that God is so committed to getting us through this life on course to live the masterpiece experience that he has for us, to really live that life of abundance and fullness that he promises, that he not only empowers us through his spirit, he guides us along the way. He guides us along the way. So the second part of that equation is we have to see ourselves as the masterpiece that we are. Second one is we have to see that we have a master, how did I phrase this here? We have to see that there's a direction, there's a place, there's a ministry, there's a mission that only we can fulfill as individuals and as a collective group. So as we talk about this, we have to remember that we're a masterpiece and we're a unique body created for good works. So turn to somebody right now, look them right in the eyes and say, you are a masterpiece. Come on, do it with you can do it with a smile, but you can't do it with a smirk, okay? And it's not just you're a piece of work, you're a masterpiece. Masterpiece, right? If we're going to follow our GPS coordinates, if we're going to follow the direction that God's given for us, if we're going to arrive at our destiny and the destination that God has for us, we have to believe, we have to have conviction that we are a masterpiece. And we're not just slubbing by, but we are created by the hand of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this about us being a masterpiece, okay? It says, for we are God's handiwork. That's the word that's used in the NIV. I chose that version for that very purpose. That it says that we are God's handiwork, which is a great definition of masterpiece, right? A lot of other translations, including the New Living Translation that we normally use here, says masterpiece for that word handiwork. But in order for us to see ourselves as a masterpiece, we have to see God's hand at work, right? Because we're his handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared for us in advance to do. Let that sit for just a second. Let that settle in your spirit. Let that resonate a little bit, right? No matter how we feel today, no matter what we think, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, in Christ, you're a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece. That you have detail to your life that is unique to you. In fact, as you sit here today, you are one of 1 in 7 billion. You're not a copy, right? You are a good work that Jesus created on purpose and for a purpose, all right? So St. Augustine said it this way in talking about this idea of what a masterpiece is. It says, men go abroad to wonder at the heights of mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, and at the long course of the rivers, or at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, and they pass by themselves without wondering. Masterpieces are made, they're shaped, they're handcrafted by God himself. They're not manufactured. And as you woke up this morning to come to church and you looked in the mirror and you saw what you saw, God says it's a masterpiece. God says it's a masterpiece. And we can trust him, right? So masterpieces are made, they're not manufactured. I'm going to put up a picture here. Anybody know what that is? That's the Taj Mahal. Like it's one of the great wonders of the world. What do they say? The 7 wonders of the world. Is that right? I don't know. I haven't been to see any of them. But we do have somebody in our congregation that's been to it. And the reason we haven't gone to see the Taj is because it's in India. You can't just get a bus and, you know, hop a route and get there, right? But we look at this picture right here and you go, yeah, it looks nice, right? Because we can't see the detail of it. We can't see into it the artisanship. We can't see into it the different materials that have been brought together over a ton of good work to create a masterpiece. The same is true as we look into the mirror with our lives. If we only see the surface level, if we don't see how the giftings and the talents and the passions that make up our story help create God's handiwork, then we'll miss some of what God wants to do in giving us that abundant life that we talked about, right? So our task, your task, my task, is that we would recognize the natural and supernatural gifts, passions, and talents that fit our unique stories, okay? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says it this way. Okay, so some of us might be sitting here and going, yeah, I don't think I took the class on what my gifts are, right? You ever feel like that? Sometimes like he's talking about somebody in here, but I'm not sure it's to me. Let me just reinforce it a little bit more. 1 Peter 4:10 says that God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well and serve one another. Pretty simple, isn't it? In other words, we are saved from something. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? We remember that part of our story. But we're not just saved from something. We're saved for something. We're saved for a purpose greater than ourselves as we yield to God's GPS system in our lives. As he triangulates and says, this is how I've gifted you. This is the passions I've given you. This is the unique study that you've had. This is the jobs you've had. I've done all of this to position you for greatness, right? You know, we were joking in the first service because Pastor Andrew gives me a hard time about my alliteration that I use when I preach. In fact, my title had two of them in it this time, and that's what set him off. But basically, the title was Made for a Matchless Mission, GPS Guidance for a Grace-Fueled Greatness, right? Isn't that a cool definition for destiny? That you have a GPS guidance for grace-guided greatness, right? That's good stuff. I don't know. He can preach his messages, I'll preach mine, and, you know. And we'll all learn from it, amen? So, of those gifts, one of them that are talked about is in Ephesians chapter 4, and they're the influence gifts, okay? We just read that God gives us, in Jesus, gifts from his generosity. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and then 11 through 12 says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift. Through his generosity in Christ. And it says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. Did you guys catch that in that phrase? That God's design, his purpose for us being a body and being a church is that we would cooperate with his purposes through the gifts and the passions that he's bestowed upon us. Proactively, right? Proactively pressing in to what he was doing in our lives. But in order for us to live that life, to experience the abundance of life that God wants to release to us, we've got to learn how to prioritize and manage our lives in a way that we experience his life, right? Matthew chapter 10, verse 39 says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for me, if you give your life for me, you will find it. Don't you love that tension there? Because I don't know how it is with you, but it's like my boss has expectations on me. My wife can sometimes have expectations on me. It's always moderate and fair and, you know, it's always good stuff. My kids have expectations. Fill in the blank has expectations, right? And so it's really that idea of how do I right-size my life so that I know that I'm living out of God's life as I do my life. Does that make sense? That's what he says. If you cling to your life, if we hold on to it and say, whatever, I'll get to that God later. I'll figure out what my passions are later. I'll figure out what my talents are later, Lord. Then sometimes we can never get around to getting around to the things that he wants to do to release his life to us, right? So let's go back to that verse that we talked about because we're a one-of-a-kind story with a one-of-a-kind restorative purpose in this life. I don't know what it's like for you, but it's easy for me to believe that God's got a great plan and purpose for your life. It's harder for me to believe that he wants to do it through me. Does that make sense? And that's the challenge that we all steward. Is that when we read those texts, it's easy to think about so-and-so or our spouse or someone else and go, amen to that, brother, right? But when it comes back to us, we look back in that mirror of what the scriptures are in our life as they reflect back. And it says, no, Christ has given you a gift. Unique one, right? So back to John 10:10. What do we learn? That the enemy wants to steal, to kill, and destroy, right? The life that Jesus wants us to have. So sometimes we think about that in like physical terms and like I'm just dead or I'm alive. But I'd suggest today that sometimes he can steal things that are inheritance that Jesus wants us to have and participate in the abundant life that he has for us. Does that make sense? Let me give you a few examples, see if that helps, okay? So along the way, as you journey with Jesus, you're going to run into some giants in the land. Amen? I could preach that for a little bit, couldn't I? You're going to have to navigate some difficult terrain in this world. What did Jesus say? He said, in this world, you will have troubles. You will have challenges. You will have to overcome things through the power of the Spirit that I give you. But our setbacks and our struggle always end with seeing more of Jesus' life lived out through our story when we lean into him and his life. So let me give you just a few what I'm calling the GPS jammers, okay? You guys know that GPS signal that we're talking about? That sometimes that signal can get jammed in our lives. Anybody ever been in a season like that? Where it's like, God, I'm not really hearing, like, hello? Like, I thought I was on course, and then, you know, either I took a left when you told me to go right, right? And now I'm trying to figure out how to get back on the course for what God wants to do in my life. Here's the good news is God hasn't lost your signal. God still knows exactly where you're at, and he has fashioned and formed your life in such a way that he's able to guide you through anything, right? Anybody else do that when you're fighting with your GPS, when you're driving? Where it's like, I'm following, and I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not turning there. I'm not going to do it, right? And I take a right when I'm supposed to take the left, and then what happens? It says, recalculating. To be honest with you, that's my therapy with my GPS. When I'm mad at it, I just turn. Huh. Now who's in charge, GPS? Right? Recalculating. In other words, God can always get us back on track. He can always get us back onto the route that takes us to the destination of destiny that he has for us. But setbacks and struggle shape the story, but they also create depth and significance to our story. Here's a few of them that I've observed over the last 20 years. Some of them are taken from a book that we're going to be reading together called Find Your Place. Some we're going to be talking about in our group life, but some of them are just observations from being in church life over the last two decades here at North Rock, okay? And the first one is what I call the Jungle of Africa jammer. Right, you guys know what that jammer is? It's like the signal stops because we're afraid that if we keep following God's GPS for our lives, he's going to send us to Africa in the jungle to minister to people who don't speak my language, right? Now, I know there's some in here that are like, hey, I love Africa, pal, and that's good because that reinforces that we all have our own GPS in the midst of his body, right? But I just know that sometimes we can step back or we can unplug the GPS or we can do something to just put our car in pause because we're afraid that God doesn't necessarily, we're afraid that he's going to send us somewhere we don't want to go. Is that truth this morning? But he is trustworthy, right? And the Bible tells us that when we trust in him, and we live into his direction, we take delight in the Lord, and he will give us the destination of our heart. That he does amazing things for his kingdom as we yield to his leading in our life, right? Now here, let me just say this so I state it very clearly. You can go through life, do your work, raise your family, do the things that you do in life, and still have a great life. You can. But if Jesus affords us abundant life, if we recognize that we're masterpieces and that only we can live the one existence that he's given us, then we can also forfeit some of that, right? You know, I can tell you that my Jungle of Africa story is this stage right here. Like I never woke up once growing up as a kid and said, hey, one day I'd really like to stand on a stage and talk to people from a microphone while they all, you know, Yeah, exactly. Right? That was just never one of my life goals, right? And yet, as I yield to the Lord and recognize his call on my life, it reminded me that he had a purpose that would one day lead me to holding a microphone on a stage someplace, right? As we continue to motivate and live into the life that he's given us, he gets us to places and he changes our perceptions of who we are and what he wants to do in our life. Again, going back to that masterpiece. The masterpiece isn't a masterpiece unto itself. It's for the purposes of others being built up, okay? So here's the second signal jammer that you may have run into a time or two in your walk with Jesus. It's the I don't have anything to offer jammer, right? It's like, yeah, there's gifted people, they'll do that. There's people who can do this, you know, they can do that. I just don't really have anything to offer, right? Can I just tell you that is a lie from the pit of hell that's intended to keep you sidelined from the journey that Jesus has for you? You have things to offer. In fact, you are better at some things than anyone else in this place that ever could be, right? So if you ever wrestle with that thought, I have nothing to contribute, let me just encourage you today and say that is not what we just read. You're a masterpiece, and you're gifted, and you have talents, and you have a passion that will transform this world if we allow the life of Jesus to lead you in it. Okay? Third one's, I'm too busy, right? You know, I'll get to figuring out what my passions are when I get some time. When I get some money, when I get, right? It's that thing that just gets us in that loop where we get stuck in that cul-de-sac where we don't really feel like we're advancing in the destiny that God has for us. And can I just address that one just for a moment? Can I do that? I know this will probably hurt some of our feelings, but sometimes when we say we're too busy, really what we're saying is we're too important. It's that some of our life has been stolen to the point that we're allowing our life to drive us now. And Jesus is going, hey, if you make me first, if you'll build your life on me, then it'll be good, right? That's how it works. And I say that today not to hurt our feelings. I say that to say that our life just has a way of taking over. If we don't take the time to prioritize, to manage, to invest, to develop, and really protect the life of Jesus in our lives. Does that make sense? Is that good? Is that helpful? Okay, because that's all I got today, so you're just going to have to deal with it, okay? Here's another jammer that may trip you up somewhere along the way, okay? It's the been there, done that jammer, right? My GPS got jammed because I've been there, done that. I've been in church since I was born. I've been in church 37. I've been in church for longer than you've been alive, Pastor, right? That jammer will get you off track in the journey that God has for you. And the only way that we can keep from becoming unteachable, the only way we can avoid having that religious spirit, like, I've got it all figured out now. I float through life. No problems. We just stay up here, me and Jesus. Right? Can I just tell you that if that's where you're at, you got to engage some people. Because when you engage some people, then you find out real quick that I need God's gifts and his passion and his spirit to empower me, right? Here's another one. How about the disqualified mindset? There's some of you here today that were talking about all this, and you're going, yeah, that's good for church people. That's good for pastors. That's good for you. But I did something either this morning, last week, or further back in my life that's disqualified me from this abundant life that Jesus has for us. Can I just tell you? Again, that's a jammer. That's not truth. That's not what God's word says about who you are, okay? Finally, it's not the last one, but it's the last of the one we're going to talk about today, of the jammers that get our GPS signal not working correctly, is the I don't know enough jammer, right? Anybody feel like that? Like, when I completely understand the Bible, then I'll know what to do. Can I just tell you, I've been studying it for a long time, and it's a living word. It's always moving in our lives. You can study your whole life and still have a fresh revelation every day, or what I like to say, reminderization, right? Because it's revelation when we learn it the first time, okay? So all that to simply say that learning requires living and really walking out what we believe, okay? Intellectual assent, just listening to the scriptures that I said today, will not bring transformation of that abundant life. But applying those things that we talk about, finding those places for God's Spirit to rise up in you and to give you more of the life that he intended for you to live will, okay? So we're a masterpiece, right? For God designed, one of a kind, masterpiece mission. Mark Twain said, the two most important days in your life will be the day you were born and the day you find out why you were born. Isn't that good? So Jesus' master mission, his mission above our mission that includes our mission, is that he's called every follower of Jesus to meet every need in every community if they would only locate and live out their masterpiece mission. So with the worship team coming up here, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. The first is a statement to say that there are two kinds of people in life. Okay, there's the people that know what their masterpiece mission is, and there are those that don't. So as we sit here today, my question for us to wrestle with as we worship is this. Where would you put your current level of comprehension regarding God's masterpiece mission for your life? 0%, 20, 50, 75, 99, 100, right? The reason I ask that question is because I go back to John chapter 10, verse 10. Sometimes part of the abundant life that God wants us to experience has been stolen, and we don't even realize it. Do you guys know that when Joshua led Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land, that the promise that God gave him was, as far as your eye can see is here, all the way to these shores, right? If you want to read about it, it's Joshua chapter 2, verse 2 through 5. We don't have time to read it this morning. But at the end of the day, Israel settled, didn't they? Settled for about 10% of the region of what was promised to them. And I don't know about you as you sit here this morning, but for me, my prayer, my cry to the Lord is, Lord, don't let me settle. Don't let me settle for only living 20% of the life that you have for me, or 50% of the life that you have for me, or not taking the time to find out 100% of what the giftings are that you want to release into my life. Maybe you're here today and you just say, Pastor Chad, I've never been called a masterpiece before, because I've never looked at myself in the mirror and saw Jesus looking back at me. Can I just encourage you today to say that Jesus makes the difference, that he loves you, and that you are his masterpiece. Would you take some time this morning? Would you just ask God to reveal to you your giftings, your passions, and the story of what makes you, okay? And along with that, we're going to be doing something as a group that I'm going to talk to you about when I come back up. But let's take some time, and let's just rest in the Lord. Let's ask him to speak to us this morning. Father, show us your purpose in our life. Unjam the jammers in our life. Help us, Lord, to see you clearly and therefore see ourselves correctly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, like, I get it. Like, I'm a masterpiece. I get it. I've got gifts. I've got talents. I've got a story that's unique to myself and that God has a plan to use my life to make a difference in the world, right? Maybe you're just saying, what's the next step that I can take? Here's a couple of them you can consider, okay? First, find somebody and talk about kind of what your story is, what your gifts are, okay? Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to give you opportunity to find a place in one of our grow groups, or just find some people that you like in the church, connect and start to talk about these things. The big step we're asking everybody to take is to go online, go to giftpassionstory.com. Giftpassionstory.com. All this is on our website. You can find it after the service, okay? NorthRockChurch.com/GPS. Take that assessment, and then let's begin to have a dialogue as we discover more and more of the percentages of what the gifts are that he's entrusted to us, which is his life. It is his direction for us. Third one is you can start serving somewhere. You can get on the road and begin to apply some of the giftedness, the passions, and the talents that God has for you, okay? But maybe you're here today and you just say, Pastor Chad, as I sit here today, I don't know that I know Jesus. And at the end of the day, none of this will make any difference in life transformation if we don't just simply yield to who Jesus is in our lives. The Bible's very clear. It says that Jesus died on the cross to pay for all of our sins so that we could know him personally and live through the life that he has for us. If you're here today and you want to make that decision, we're going to give you a chance to pray a prayer that we pray every week here. Okay? But more than anything, we just posture our hearts to say, God, we're building our lives on you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray that prayer. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learn the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Let me pray and we'll dismiss, okay? If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd love to meet you after the service. I've got a gift to help you get started. Otherwise, we got a prayer team that can pray with you for any need in your life. But let's pray and carry on with our weekend. Father, we thank you that you have a GPS-guided destination for all of us. Lord, that you are fueling us for a God-appointed destination. Help us to live into that. Help us to yield to your spirit. Help us to get our car back on the road in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here at North Rock. We love you.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.